Want to join in on the fun? We're live, don't you know? Call us at 702-600-4204. 702-600-4204.
This is Captain Harold Quimby. He has been a commercial airline pilot for 28 years. He is before a board of inquiry who will decide in the next few minutes whether or not he is still fit to continue as a pilot. That is why this man is a man under pressure.
All right, this hearing will now come to order. Now you realize, Captain Quimby, that the purpose of this hearing is to determine whether you will be allowed to continue flying. Our decision, of course, will be final. Is that understood, Quimby?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How did you get into this business, Quimby?
Well, I just love to make model airplanes. I suppose that was the first thing I did. I just love to make them, and like any normal child, and I got excited. I read a lot of aeronautical magazines.
Relax, Quimby.
Sorry.
All right, you're flying.
I'm trying to. It's not easy, sir. I mean, I do this the first time in my life I've ever been called up one of these darn things.
How long have you been flying?
Huh? 41 years.
How old are you?
41 years. 41 years of age.
I see.
All right, Quimby, here's a sample situation. Let's see how you handle it.
Yes, sir.
You're flying at 25,000 feet. The right starboard engine flings out. Your oil pressure is dropped below 2,500 cubics. What's your first move, Quimby?
Well, first thing I would turn automatically to the co-pilot and get his reaction.
The co-pilot?
The co-pilot, man, the assistant, the man that takes two of us to fly.
Right, how do you do that?
Takes two to tango, right? Well, it's the same thing in the air. I would turn to him and ask him if he could help me, because it's not always up to me. I'd certainly never ask a stewardess. Yes, sir.
Do I smell whiskey on your breath?
Well, I had a drink coming over, and I live it with all three of you. I drink, yes, always to and from the airport.
Not while you're flying?
Never while I'm flying. No, I've turned around and stared.
Are you swaying a little?
Yes, a little. Yes, I'm terribly nervous. I thought for a minute it was a quake.
Grimby, on a recent flight from Los Angeles to New York, you were flying a Jet 707 and you never landed.
No.
Now, what became of that aircraft, Grimby?
Gave it to my boy.
Can you take your hat off a moment?
Yes, sir.
You dye your hair?
I did for the dance, that was all.
I understand you had quite an unusual reaction to your tetanus shot.
Yes, I did.
What was it?
My head started to swell and then went into my feet. I was almost scheduled to be in the Thanksgiving Day parade.
Perhaps you can explain this.
Yes, I'll try to.
You were on the New York to Chicago run last week, and you went 600 miles off course. How come?
Well,
it's not funny, Pepe.
Right? We call it a Canadian goose, and...
quite a taste for liquor. Let's just make sure and place a glass of whiskey and gin in front of you. How does that affect you?
Look over there. 707. I was kidding.
What happened to the whiskey?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe somebody... I was kidding. It was just a thing.
Did you think it was?
Yes, I did. Oh, I didn't try to do it. I'm not flying now.
All right,
I'm not flying now.
Give me a phone, will you?
What are you guys? What is this? Some kind of communist trial or something? I'm just a normal American pilot.
How old are you?
Huh?
How old are you?
51.
How old?
38.
How are your nerves, Quimby?
Great.
All right, Quimby.
What?
What's your favorite view when you're flying west?
Just the whole thing. Everything in America.
Give us a sample of what you say over the intercom when you fly over the Grand Canyon.
Sure, you can't understand it. You can tell them they scare them to death.
Let me supposing you're informed in mid-flight that one of your passengers is about to have a baby aboard. What would you do?
I really don't know offhand. Not being a doctor, I'm a pilot. I think I'd go probably circle for an hour and hope that she got over it.
What does the phrase fasten your seatbelts mean?
It means nothing to me. I haven't been able to get one around me for years. Why, it means, of course, you know what it means. It means it's part of our safety program. That's Article 16, page 48.
Would you excuse us a moment, Quimby?
Sure.
I don't think he can hear. Captain Quimby?
Yes, sir.
We've tempted you and put you through your paces?
Yeah.
We've decided to let you continue flying.
Oh, jeez. Bless you.
As a stewardess.
I'm 62 years old. I'm not going to shave my legs, gentlemen, for anyone.
All right. Hey, I want to welcome everybody to the show tonight. Ernest Blocky. We got James Ernest Blocky here tonight. We got Dick Talks. I call him the Dickster. I've known both these guys for many, many, many years.
Too many.
And I want to thank Jay Bird for giving us the opportunity to do the Oscar and Bernie with Ernie History of Comedy Hour. That was some Jonathan Winters we just heard. He is a Buckeye. He was a native of Dayton, Ohio, I believe it was, and his family was in the banking business back there. And I guess Jonathan Winters said, you can keep your cash, Pops. I'm going to go out west and become a crazy comic, which has been kind of the desire of many of us. I actually met my co-host here tonight, Ernie, back in, I think, 1978.
79. We met at Met.
Yeah, we met at Metropolitan Life back when Moses was still pounding on tablets.
Yeah, it was life insurance.
The life insurance business of Las Vegas.
Oh, my gosh. I worked there for a year, never sold a policy. I was just...
Really?
I never sold a policy.
No, I did it okay. I didn't do too bad over there. But and we met a great guy by the name of Joe Pantozzi, who does the insurance business. He's a CLU here in Vegas. And definitely give him a call if you have any insurance needs. Now, Mr. Dickster, he too has got a long history. Dick Talks here in Las Vegas Valley. Dick, you got here in Vegas, what, in 57 the first time?
61.
And you were
61.
And you're driving a 57. What was your story about the old car you drove through town? You weren't old enough to drive even, I thought, at the time.
Actually, I hitchhiked. I got a ride in a pickup truck. Guy had his hand on my knee all the way. I kind of, you know, I didn't even really want to get out of the truck, but hell, you know. I did, you know, stopped at a Danny's restaurant, and I got a job washing dishes.
Wow, here on the Strip?
On the Strip, next to the Dunes Hotel.
Wow, that was your first job in town.
Yeah, first job.
And then Dick actually worked as a baccarat dealer at Caesar's Palace for a number of years.
Yeah, I did. I'll make it real quick. I worked my way up in the casinos, made a lot of money. Everybody told me I was funny, so I quit, went out on the road, did comedy, found out I wasn't as funny as I thought I was. And plus, I had the wrong attitude. You know, every time you say the word cunt, they get all fucking upset, you know? And but now, you know, Jim Jefferies and all these guys, they are so fucking good. You know who I'm talking about?
Yes, I've seen.
Yeah. These guys now are so much better than we ever were or ever thought about being.
Well, they stayed with it for a long time. And when you started out, you were working as a Doug Stanhope's opener feature act.
Exactly. We used to drive around the country, and I had a VW bus, and we'd be riding along, and he'd be thinking stuff funny. You know, he's a funny guy. You know, if you've gone to his website, he probably has 25, 30 hours of just material. It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, he sells a lot of DVDs and CDs, and on his website, he's got his upcoming gigs. He's all over the place. I see he's in Boston.
But he's a strange dude.
Des Moines, St. Louis.
Yeah. We opened for Engelbert Humperdinck. You know, we opened his door. Windows.
Yeah, in Valley at the Flamingo, I opened a lot of doors for people. In fact, Coach John Thompson stepped out of his car, and I looked at him, you know, knowing who he was, but I said to him, I said, you know, I sure hope you played basketball for somebody or some coach was crying himself to sleep at night. And he looked at me like, you idiot, don't you know who I am? You know, and
he was right. You're an idiot.
That is right. And Gerald Patio, I got his autograph once, too.
I played softball with him.
Did you
against
really?
Him, yes. When I was working at Opportunity Village, I played against the other clients. We played against the UNLV basketball team.
Oh,
which,
nice. That was when they were, they won it all back then.
This was before that. There was Gerald Patio, Anthony Jones, and, you know, those guys, and Richie Adams.
And Patio played for the Cavaliers for a year, so that was kind of like... a neat thing.
Poor guy.
Kid from Cleveland.
Now they won everything, but, you know, it's still Cleveland no matter what. Cleveland.
I've never been to Minnesota. Both you guys are Minnesota fellas.
Yeah, he's from...
New Hope.
New Hope. That's just a little bit south of Minneapolis, yep. Minnesota.
Yeah. Where were you
along
from?
The Olson Highway, I think. If I'm correct, I'm not sure.
It's been a while for me.
Yeah, the Olson Highway. Yeah. I remember.
Yeah, where were you from? You were like...
South Minneapolis.
Oh, South Minneapolis.
South, okay. Out by the VA hospital. Yeah. You know where that is? I wonder if anybody's fucking listened to the show out there. I mean, how the fuck would we know if anybody's
well,
listening?
Well, actually, Jay Bird's in several markets. He's all over the place. So.
I mean, maybe somebody's out there going, fuck, he's talking about Minneapolis. I used to be in Minneapolis when I was a kid, you know. 53rd and Hiawatha. Yeah, right off of, yeah.
Yeah.
They should name their streets after degrees. You're like 35 below, you know, intersects.
Yeah.
We got gas over here passing Main Street over here.
Yeah, Minneapolis.
Yeah, they would have to be mostly negative numbers, so that's probably why they don't do it.
When you're a kid, you don't know any better.
Yeah.
You think it's just fucking fun. Hey, this is fun. Let's go freeze.
Yeah.
Let's go freeze.
See how cold we can get and then come back and sit by the register. I mean, we really used to do this.
Oh,
we used to jump off the roof.
Just defeat the blue balls.
Pound. Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't even know what blue balls was then. We were
so
pretty
cold.
Young. Yeah, we were pretty
well,
young.
Yeah, it was blue
it
balls.
Meant something different to us back then than it does to us now.
Oh, yeah.
Blue balls. But it did mean something back then. It was
blue ears, blue nose.
Blue everything. Everything was blue. I went out in my front yard and, you know, dug an Eskimo tunnel and everything. And, you know, it was pretty cool. Cold, actually.
Well, that was the thing to do as kids, to build igloos if you had enough snow to be able to, you know, pack.
We always wanted to get out of the house, didn't we? We always wanted our own little fucking room or something.
Yeah.
We wanted a tree house or a
fort.
Or, you know, we'd dig something down in the woods just to get away from our parents.
Right. or they were encouraging us, because my father sold building supply products. So we had some samples of little aluminum windows, and we built those suckers right into our tree house. And we camped out there in the middle of the woods. We were kind of...
It's just, you know, whenever I go and I speak somewhere, I always tell them I'm from Minnesota and I'm a Viking fan, because then it gets automatic pity.
It's like the Browns. I know. Yeah. I relate.
Well, I mean, with the Browns, they just always suck. I mean, there's this, you know, I mean, it's like, okay, we don't have a chance. It's this year, so you know we don't have a chance. But with the Vikings, we always have a chance. You know, we miss a 20-yard field goal or a 30-yard field goal. The referee screws something up. Or, you know, this year, Teddy Bridgewater is gone, and now Adrian Peterson's gone.
Right. You know? I saw that the other night. I mean, hurt bad. Yeah,
it's just that, you know, there's always something that's going to happen to Minnesota. You can guarantee it. You know, like New Orleans, they're going to, you know, try to beat the shit out of, you know, Brett Favre and see if they can put him in the grave. They still got their Super Bowl ring, but, you know, they got what, fined, and everybody got suspended for a year.
Well, at least you got a ring. That's one thing the Browns have not.
We do not have a ring.
Dickie was a teenager back in the 50s.
Yes, I was.
The Vikings never got a ring. What the heck is he talking about?
Didn't you?
No, we've never won a Super Bowl.
Oh, you're one of the ones like the Browns then.
No, we've come close
a couple of times.
We've lost four Super Bowls.
Yeah,
like
you
Buffalo.
Went to them for Fran Tarkenton.
Yeah.
But that's comedy.
Yeah, that's a sad comedy. That's a sad
it's the history of comedy right there.
You know, I used to work at that Metropolitan Stadium.
Metrodome?
No.
Oh, Met Stadium.
Yeah, out in Bloomington.
Yeah, that's a great stadium,
you know?
Man.
And,
is that baseball or football?
Baseball.
Or
well, it was baseball, right.
Oh, wow.
It was both back then.
And no, and then there was a hockey arena, too, but I never went to that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But the Mall of America, that's something we can talk about, you know.
I've never been. I haven't been to Minnesota.
Mall of America is where Metropolitan Stadium was. I've stepped on home plate because they have home plate and gold at the...
Oh, yeah?
Inside the mall?
Yeah, because it was built
there. Yeah, they tore down the stadium and built a mall.
No, they didn't tear the stadium down. They just built a mall over the stadium.
Really?
No.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm just bullshitting. Come on. Don't be so damn gullible. Come on.
The ghosts of the past players are still running around here.
Something a Swede would do. Yeah. I mean, you know them Ollie Swedes and Norwegians out there. You know, isn't it funny? Back in, like, the early 50s, the big deal was the Swedes hated the Norwegians. The Norwegians hated the Polacks. We didn't know what a black person was in them days. I mean, we just didn't know. I mean, they weren't not around.
No, that's horrible.
No, but it's the
an
truth.
An example of white privilege. That's all I can say.
Exactly.
Because black people are too smart to move to that.
Black people in Minnesota, jeez.
Black people are too smart to move where it's 40 below.
Right.
Give me a break.
It's too cold.
It's not racist. They're just smarter than we are.
Stay somewhere where I can.
Who wants to go where it's 40 below?
I'll freeze my cojones off.
My mother did.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You know.
My sister's still back there, and so is my younger brother. Mm-hmm.
Now I'm a freeze baby. That's why I had to come west. And I think it all started out when I was, like, in the Boy Scouts. They left us out. It was 13 below, and I was about 12 years old, and I peed my pants in my sleep, and I woke up frozen solid to the ground like a human popsicle. They carried me, threw me in a car, took me to the parents' house, threw me in a cold bathtub of water, and I have problems with the snow ever since, I think.
You know what Stanhope would have done? He would have just peed on you to break the ice.
That's an icebreaker.
I remember that
story.
Which
is a great segue for urine therapy.
Well, you know, Stan, he has that joke where he's up in Montana doing comedy. He's in a room in a motel, a crummy place, little bathroom. He steps out of the tub, and his foot freezes to the floor.
So he says he just peed on
it. Then I just peed on my foot, broke the ice.
No, he's a funny dude, man. When I saw over at Brad Garrett's show, what's his name, Gilbert, get up and do Doug's joke. I mean, I was like shocked he did this one joke. That Gilbert Gottfried would do that on stage, but I don't know.
A lot of comedians like to steal jokes.
We auditioned for the Gong Show, and a week later, Rip Taylor was doing.
Doing
a dang joke.
We went down to the Gong Show. This was the Ain't Brothers We ain't brothers.
We ain't related.
And that was our name of our.
I thought it was Ain't, like I N K.
No,
Ain't.
Yeah.
Ain't. Oh, the Ain't Brothers.
We ain't brothers.
Yeah.
Learning something.
We were because back then there was the Righteous Brothers, the Everly Brothers, all these brothers.
All the brothers
so we weren't brothers.
He came up with it. It was a great title for the act, and he got us on national TV when he did Hollywood Squares. He got the name of the act.
And so we
a mover, everything, a shaker mover.
I'm a sitter stiller.
Well,
his problem was he couldn't walk through the casino without women waving at him and wanting to know him right away.
That's bullshit. That's not true. Anyway, so we go down to the Gong Show, and we do our act down there, and they say, "You guys suck. Get out of here. We don't want to. You suck, but
they
you don't suck
they
bad
call
enough."
Us.
Yeah, they said they call you, but basically what they said is you suck, but you don't suck bad enough to be on the Gong Show. And so a week later, we did this thing called the Unknown Comic.
The Polish unknown comic,
where the whole face was cut out of the bag so you could see the whole face. Mm. And so Rip Taylor, about 2 weeks later, Rip Taylor's doing that on his TV show.
On Norm Crosby's Comedy Store. And I saw they were running that on the antenna TV and stuff.
Yeah.
They were running that again.
They used a couple other ones of our jokes, too, I think. We had some funny stuff, you know.
The singer Carmi stole the one joke. And the craziest thing was when we did the improv down in L.A. and that guy hit his girlfriend next to him and said,
Don't
laugh at that. He's laughing at that Truman Capote line.
Oh, my goodness.
Crazy.
Yeah, that was back in the Jimmy Carter era, Jimmy and Billy.
Billy's beer.
And, yeah, Jimmy Carter, he had the nuts and, you know, Billy had his beer. And so I did a thing I went to a Carter party. You know, and I'm Truman Capote, and I went to a Carter party and had such a great time. I wrote a poem, and it goes like this. He goes, "I'm just sitting here, just had such a good time, drinking Billy's beer and eating Jimmy's nuts." And, you know, it just cracks everybody up. It just everybody just busts up, and there's one lady in the front.
When I'm drunk and acting like a clutch, it's because I'm drinking Billy's beer and eating Jimmy's nuts.
That's right. I forgot the whole
thing. Yeah, you wrote the line, and I still remember it.
But, I mean, it was so funny, and the people... The people laughed at it, and the one guy just smacked his girl.
Smacked his girlfriend right in front of us in the improv down there.
Oh, my God!
No, it was a Comedy Store.
Yeah, wasn't it Sandy Hackett's comedy thing at
Sahara?
No,
that was it. No, we were down at the Comedy Store in L.A. when that happened. Hackett was all right. He got us some
Sandy was really good.
How did
the joke go? It was when I'm drinking... Oh.
Jealous little prick. No talent. He wanted to be a singer. You know, he tried to be a singer, and everybody booed him out. I know Sandy Hackett really well. We were in fucking business together.
All right, well, stop right there.
Yeah, that's okay. So, John, what was it? It was when I'm drinking Billy's beer and acting like a klutz, it's,
It's because I'm drinking Billy's beer and eating Jimmy's nuts.
Yeah, okay.
Or, yeah.
Wouldn't you rather talk about Sandy Hackett than somebody's nuts?
No, my Sandy Hackett story was is that when I met David Brenner told me how Buddy Hackett was his door opener. He was his juice. And I told him Sandy Hackett got me on the Gong Show. Because after we got on the Gong Show, or tried to get on the Gong Show, and we got ripped off, I went down there a few years later with the Bird when the new Gong Show came around, like in 89. Because Jimmy and I were down there. We were down there in like 79. And after Hackett said to me, he goes, I'll make sure you get on the show. Because I told him, I said, last time I got ripped off. I don't want to go down there. And he said, I'll get you on. So then when I went down there, they said, what do you want to do? I said, I want to get Gong. They go, what are you, nuts? Everybody comes down here, they want to be famous. I said, well, Gong me 10 times, I will be famous. So they kept bringing me back and Gonging me. And then Arsenio Hall got that time slot. He took over that time slot on from the Gong Show.
Let me get back to Mr. Hackett for a second, because I want to tell you what I really feel.
Okay, all right. You're allowed.
Okay. He's tremendously talented. He is a fantastic entertainer, but he's never wrote a joke. And that's the truth, and he knows it, and he'll admit it to you when, you know, in private. But he's a great entertainer. If I owned a comedy club, I'd hire this prick every week. I'd put him on. He would be my whatever, my go-to guy. I mean, this guy can entertain any type audience, anywhere, under any circumstances, because he learned from his dad.
Right.
And he knows every fucking joke in the world.
And he's seen everybody, too, at the Monday showcase over at the Sahara.
And he knows Jimmy to Orbit In. He knows everything.
The what?
That cook Jimmy from the Orbit In.
Oh, yeah.
Sandy likes doing that joke of his.
Oh, well.
Giuseppe, you'll remember it. You'll remember, Ernie, when Jimmy, he would get up there from the Orbit In, that big old cook. And he'd say, Giuseppe, he's over there chopping the salami. Yat-da-da-da, yat-da-da, foomp. He chops off his hand. So he grabs his hand. He runs down to Dr. Cheap. He goes, Dr. Cheap, how much you want to throw my hand? $50. He goes, first he goes to Dr. Rich. He wants $500. He goes, $500, heck with you. I go to Dr. Cheap. He says, $50. He tells Dr. Cheap, sew it on.
Joke.
Yeah, so he sews the hand back on. Dr. Rich walks by the shop. He's chopping the salami. He says, hey, Dr. Rich, that's what I think of you.
Now, what he did is he snapped his hand up, you know, to, like, flip the guy the Bird, and then his hand came off. It didn't. It wasn't successfully sold on.
You had to look. You had to see his
eyes.
Yeah,
you had to see
his eyes. That was a great joke, man.
Right.
Jimmy.
Well, my favorite was always when I was in the Air Force, I was actually the third best MC 2 years in a row because they had talent
shows. Yeah, you won the thing.
I won locally here, and I went to the national, worldwide, and so I was the third best MC 2 years in a row. In the world for the Air Force, and I told this one joke, which probably kept me from being the best. But I said this we're in the era of where you know they can actually do brain transplants, and this one is a German scientist. It's $150,000 for this one. Wow, that's pretty cool. And I said, and this one is here. This one is of a mathematician, you know, and it's but this one, you know, this one's about $350,000 and. And I go, hey, well. And so I says, but now this one here, the cream of the crop, says this is an Air Force general's brain, but it's going to cost you $1.5 million. And I was telling him, he goes, gosh, because that's a lot of money. Why so much? And I go, it's never been used.
Oh,
hey, brand new.
Yeah, they loved you for that. Hey, with that, we're about to take a break. We're going to cut away for some messages, and we'll be right back. Thanks.
Want to join in on the fun? We're live, don't you know? Call us at 702-600-4204. 702-600-4204.
So you were just denied credit. You may be feeling embarrassed, discouraged, or even helpless.
I really thought that my credit was a lost cause. You know, it made me really sad to know that my credit was that messed up.
The credit pros understand. How could you build good credit when no one gives you a chance? How are you ever going to get the car you need or the house you deserve? Call the experts now at the Credit Pros and get your second chance.
My credit was horrible. I hired Credit Pros and I got a brand new house. If it wasn't for Credit Pros, I wouldn't be in this house today.
get your credit report summary free, and the consultation is free. The Credit Pros can help you remove questionable credit items like charge-offs, late payments, wrong information, and more. The Credit Pros is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau.
By me putting my faith in Credit Pros, I can breathe now. I advise everybody to give Credit Pros a try.
Call the Credit Pros for a free consultation right now.
Call the Credit Pros now. Toll free. 844-834-5065. 844-834-5065.
Tired of that stale, poor quality beef jerky that you get at your local convenience store? Well, stress no more. Introducing Hangover Joe's, a brand that carries a full line of aged, cured, premium U.S. beef brisket jerky. Aged Joe takes pride in making gourmet-style, high-quality, tender-cut jerky products. That's why Aged Joe has successfully refined the process of making beef jerky, making sure you receive only the highest quality USA beef jerky on the market today. Featuring 8 original flavors, Aged Joe uses a blended marinade of alcohol and spices which brings out the distinctive flavors of our beef jerky. After just one bite, you'll know that this is not like any other brand on the market. This is not your father or grandfather's beef jerky. You will love the quality of our jerky, and you will love its outstanding gourmet flavors. Aged Joe beef jerky is absolutely jerky-licious.
Zip Fizz energy, no sudden crash and calorie, low carb, vitamin B, the healthy energy mix. Zip Fizz!
Zip Fizz, the all-natural, great-tasting, healthy energy mix for those on the go. Zip Fizz!
Zip Fizz energy, no sudden crash and calorie, low carb, vitamin B, the healthy energy mix. Zip Fizz!
RadioVegas.rocks. We're number one at the Greyhound Bus Station.
It's been my experience in comedy that most good comedy comes out of your own personal experiences. And I grew up in Chicago, and the area of town I grew up in was at the end of the bus line, and the bus drivers would turn around and they'd head back downtown. So I had been watching bus drivers since I was like 5 or 6 years old, and became convinced very early there must be a school that all bus drivers attend because they couldn't innately know these things that they're able to do. So I'd like to take you now to that school, and as we enter the course, we find the instructor talking to the student bus drivers. Gentlemen, you have just completed what's known as a basic course in bus driving. We're going to present you here with actual situations you'll encounter while driving your buses. And it's primarily designed to find out whether you're going to be good bus drivers or possibly one of the great all-time bus drivers. Of course, when I say great all-time bus drivers, immediately comes to mind the name Larry Strickland. Probably the greatest bus driver of the 40s and then into the 50s. Neil Norlag, certainly the greatest left-handed bus driver we've ever seen. So what we're going to do, we're going to take one of the students, Johnson, yeah, you want to get in the bus, and Miss Selkirk, yeah, you want to get back to your marks, and we're going to present you with situations you'll very often encounter on your buses. All right, Johnson, yeah, pull your bus in. All right, discharge your passengers. Now, out of the rearview mirror, you'll notice this old woman running for the bus. Yeah, you want to start running, Mrs. Selkirk? Let's see how Johnson handles this. You're pulling out much too fast, Johnson. Hold it. Yeah, she gave up halfway up on the block that time. Yeah. No, what you want to do is just kind of gradually ease out, you know, and you're kind of always holding out the hope they can catch up with the bus, you know what I mean? Now, another thing you have to watch, a lot of these older women, they'll run at three-quarter speed, and they'll put on a final burst and catch up with a bus. So, all right, Johnson, let's try another one. Graham, you want to try your hand, the same problem? Yeah, you want to get back to your marks, Mrs. Selkirk? Okay, same situation. You pull in, discharge your passengers. All right, you want to start running, Mrs. Selkirk? Let's see how Graham handles this. Did you see how he slammed the door right in her face that time? That's called your perfect pullout. And now, It wasn't part of the problem, Graham, but it shows you're thinking on your feet. You blocked two full lanes of traffic that time. Very good. Okay, Graham, Miss Selkirk will try situation 13. Okay, yeah. Graham, we'll stay with you. You're doing very well. This happens very often. You're on your route. All of a sudden, a car pulls in front of you, and on the back is a sign, caution student driver learning to drive, something like that. All right. But yeah, Graham, you want to be driving? All right, Miss Selkirk, you want to pull in front of him? Let's see how Graham handles this. Excellent. Excellent. He got back, I guess about 10, 15 car lengths, got it up to around 60. And then when he's right on top of her, bang, he comes down on his brakes. And then hit the horn with it with his elbow. Could you notice how the car just kind of swerved out of control? when she dove for the floorboard? Oh, very good, Graham. All right. Miss Selkirk, you want to extricate yourself? Well, just crawl out the window. I think that's going to be a lot faster. Yeah. Okay, now this is the situation, and this will be our final situation. You're the woman getting on the bus with the packages. And I'm going to have to help you with this because this requires a lot of practice, but believe me, it's worth it. So, all right, get on the bus. That's the way. Got a bunch of packages. Now fumble for your change. Very good. All right, now start heading toward the back of the bus. Hit your accelerator. All right. Now you brake. Hit your accelerator again. Brake again. You see how he kept her spinning in the aisle there? Now, the first couple times you try that, you may hit your brake a little too soon. You may hit the accelerator a little too soon. But I guarantee you, within 5 or 6 months, you should be able to keep a woman spinning in the aisle for an indefinite amount of time. All right. You want to get in your individual buses, and just remember, accelerator brake, accelerator brake. Tomorrow, we will study the mispronunciation of street names, okay? Thank you very much. Thank you.
Right on. Want to thank Jay Bird. We're over here having a great time tonight. Got Ernie in the house. Got Dick Talks in the house. And right now what I want to do is I want to put a plug out for the Finn City Parrothead Clubs. We got October 14th coming up here, the Last Man Standing. And it's a great concert that we're holding over there at Tommy Rockers. 4275 Dean Martin Drive. So we want everybody to come out and check it out. It's couples at $70. Get your tickets on our website, Finn City Parrothead Club. First Wednesday of every month, we meet over there at 7 o'clock. We party with a purpose. So come on out, meet us all over there, and have a great time. We're going to do a couple more plugs here.
Is that party with the dolphin? Is that what you said?
Almost. A porpoise? And I don't even want to talk about the lady that said she wanted to swim naked with the dolphins once. That was in my bartending days, and the craziest things you hear from drunks.
Is that a male dolphin?
She had some kind of idea. I'll never know why. Anyways, Amnesia Salons. Talk about amnesia. I'm sorry we started the fish tail. All right, so Amnesia Salon over 6462 Low Sea Road, North Las Vegas. We want you to get over there and see my buddy Ernie, where they do color highlights, hair extensions, manicures, pedicures. They do Brazilians, manzillions. What is a manzillion? I guess that's for a hairy guy to remove some of that. And he also got a chiropractor over there, and they'll bend you in the right place to get you back in shape. And we also want to give a shout-out to Pete's Wheatgrass. You want to be healthy, you want to drink your wheatgrass. It's around town at the different health food stores. You get a hold of them and their website.
Whole Foods. All the athletic clubs.
Excellent.
Wheatgrass, vitamins, minerals, live enzymes. It's the only whole food. It's the only thing that's actually for real. The other stuff you see in the stores, you know, little pills in a bottle. You know what they have to do to that pill?
Oh, yeah, it's not fresh. Bottle?
It's not that it ain't fresh. They have to heat it up to 180 degrees.
Oh, they kill all the enzymes. Yeah.
Otherwise it'd turn rotten on the shelf. So everything you take from the shelf is just bullshit. changes the color of your piss, stuff like that.
It's like cardboard.
Yeah.
Cardboard changes the color of your piss?
Well, I mean, the stuff they're eating, because it's all, it's once they cook it to that temperature, they kill the living enzymes in this stuff.
They kill everything. So, wheatgrass, and then there's some other stuff too.
And it's fresh.
Anyways, yeah, and oh yeah, you gotta juice it and drink it right away. You can't let it sit. If you let it sit 20 minutes, you know what happens? Dies.
Really?
Really?
That only takes, you wanna have it that fresh.
Stinks, doesn't no good no more.
Oh, I mean, wow.
Yeah, you gotta do all, there's all kinds of little live things.
And it's the most oxygenated stuff you can drink, right?
And, right, full of.
That's what Sandy says about John. If she leaves him standing around for about 20 minutes, he just dies. Stink, he stinks and dies.
Hey, no Viagra Cialis here. You know what I do now that I'm an old guy? Because I've been collecting some Social Security checks. It's much cheaper than Viagra. Just take a lot of naps.
Ah.
You know, wake up with the Woody and you're fine. Okay. Now, the next thing we want to do is plug Ernie's book. James Ernest Blocky is a noted author, and he learned the hard way by teaching school here in the Clark County Schools. System.
How many years did you teach school?
I taught for 22 years.
Holy Christ.
I taught, the name of the book is Public Schools, The Worst Case of Child Abuse in American History. And it is it's an excellent book. If you, you can go on Amazon and buy it. It's a great book. It tells it like it is.
And, Jim Blocky.
Yes.
Jim Blocky.
Right. Actually, this is the second book I wrote. This is kind of the second edition. I wrote Teachers, It Ain't Your Fault.
Nice.
And that was my first book. And too many people thought it was for just teachers. They didn't understand what it was about. And what it was an expose on what's happening in our schools throughout the country. And the week, 3 weeks after, or 3 months after I found a publisher, I was suspended for hitting a kid. Now, they had video of this whole thing. But the kid went in and said, I hit him. And within 30 minutes, they had me suspended.
But you never hit the kid.
No.
It was just what they said.
Video and three teachers. And so they sent me home.
Unbelievable.
And I spent, and then, you know, for the first 6 months, I was told I might be arrested for child abuse.
Oh, jeez.
So I had to sit at home waiting for that.
What did you do, just push him or something?
You wrote comedy.
No, I didn't touch him. I never, in the video shows, we didn't even bump into each other. They just were after me because when I ran for Congress in 98 and 2000, I kind of exposed a lot then what was going on in our school system. So they were pissed.
Well, I would have voted for you.
And so, quite a few people did for as little money as I had. But, I mean, anyway, so, I mean, I spent
too late.
I spent 16 months at home.
You guys are out there. You can't see us sitting here, but this Jim Blocky is a good-looking guy. I'm not kidding you. And he says all this. How old are you?
I spent 16 months at home.
He's 61.
And
61.
Yeah,
literally
younger than me.
What is the week
that book?
A little
bit of a belly, but not much.
The week that book was released. The book was released on Tuesday. That Friday, I was fired. I was terminated that Friday. Now I'm the
only. So we had to sell a lot of books.
I'm the only teacher in this country who's ever been fired for immorality that it was not sexual. No one else has ever done that. I was fired for immorality. They were out to get me.
The Ain't Brothers became famous. I'm the most gonged act from the Gong Show, and Jimmy's
Let me finish this before people start thinking that was the end of the story. I went to arbitration, and I had a Obama lookalike as my arbitrator. And after, you know, 2 hours, I got my job back because they saw the video, and he even says, he didn't even hit the kid, didn't even touch him. How could you know this?
So you sat around 16 months waiting to hear that.
And then I got fired. And then
back
I went.
Pay.
It was 22 months total. I got back pay for the last, because I was, the first 16 months I was getting paid.
Yeah.
They were wasting your taxpayer money.
Yeah.
It probably cost the taxpayers for what they did to me $500,000.
Wow.
And now, somebody had a grudge.
Well, it's not that they had a grudge; it's they don't want me telling things like there's something in the book here that they, you know, a kid in Texas was being they thought that schools thought he was being abused, so they had a female nurse go in tell this male student to strip down, and this female examined him, and I mean he was butt naked, and so the female nurse examined him, found nothing apparently. When his parents found out about it, they sued. Wow. And they lost. And you know what Judge Melinda Harmon said?
Who lost?
The kid did. The parents lost.
Okay.
Judge Melinda Harmon said, when you drop your kid off at school, you give up your parental rights.
You know, that's the way it was when I was a kid. I know that. They used to beat the shit out of us.
But you parents never gave up your parental rights.
Yeah, but that's what we thought that was the case.
Well, you knew damn well that when you don't give up, because that gives them the right to do anything they want. Like strip search you. You know, strip shirts a male, having a female. Can you imagine what a male nurse stripped down a female?
So are,
well,
are
it depends on how old
it?
You are. But the question here is that I'd like to put out is that, are you aware, Dickie, because you're a little older than us, they quit teaching cursive writing in school to these kids?
Oh, that was about 10 years ago, yeah, 5, 10 years ago.
I think
ago.
That's terrible.
Yeah. How are they going to sign their names to sign in to vote? I mean, they say they don't want voter ID, but we compare signatures when you go to vote here in Nevada. I mean, it's crazy.
They say they'll teach them how to sign, do that. But, I mean, cursive writing helps you – cursive penmanship helps you in your writing, helps you reading. But as I was telling you earlier, Dickie, is that, you know, I mean, they don't really care for us to read too well because the way we teach how to read actually causes dyslexia. Before they started this, 1 in 1,000 kids were dyslexic, and they usually had some learning disability along with that. The Dyslexia Institute of America came out and said 15% to 20% of our adults have dyslexia right now since we started teaching this. That's kind of a big increase, 1 in 1,000 to 20 in 100.
Well, it's like autism, too. I mean, with the vaccinations, I mean, a correlation
right.
of one sort or another. I don't know. It just seems to me I prefer staying away from doctors. And when I finally did see a doctor, he asked me why I'd never seen a doctor. And I told him, well, like George Burns said, I'll see a doctor when one outlives me.
That's right. And here's something for you, too. Do you guys remember when Hillary Clinton was trying to get on the subway and her card wouldn't work?
Yeah, I do remember.
Her card wouldn't work. She kept swiping her card to get in the subway, but it wouldn't work. I mean, these idiots, Democrats have to realize that, you know, their cards don't work unless a Republican pays for it. You realize that, right?
Ow! Now, I supported Joe Behar. He was a Democrat, and he was a good guy. But
I find most
that's about the only Democrat I've ever supported.
I find that most liberals are just conservatives who, with the lack of knowledge...
I've never known anybody that's voted. Did you guys vote?
Yeah, I vote.
There's 60% of kids under the age of 30 are socialists. They believe in socialism. You ask them what socialism is, I don't know.
They don't know
what the hell it is.
No, I see that on Waters World or Jimmy Fallon. Whenever they go out and they interview these young kids, it's like, oh, my gosh, you know, what the heck?
Do you realize socialism means you don't have your freedoms, that your freedoms are taken away?
Well, they're going to tell you what to do. You know?
Yeah, I mean, the
I just
government
want to be left alone.
Yeah.
I don't want to be left alone. So talking about comedy.
Well, hey, wait a second.
Comedy,
you're married, so you're left alone all the time.
The history of comedy. It started here. It says from the Greeks. The Greeks.
Well, they thought it was funny when they got poked in the ass.
I know. It's an innuendo. I think is how sexual innuendo started, right? With
tickle.
The freaking Greeks. If you tickle your prostate, that's the humerus bone, according to the Greeks.
Then make me laugh.
The word,
when my doctor stuck his thumb and was playing with mine, I wasn't laughing.
Oh, you know, hey, I have a true story that I'll tell you, okay?
Okay.
I'm coming back from Tijuana. I was down there visiting. I had both my kids with me. This is about 25, 30 years ago. And the Guess product company, you know, Guess with the shirts and pants and all that stuff?
Yep.
They're very big in Tijuana. They have a big, beautiful store. It looks like America in a way. And then right next door is one without a sidewalk, you know. But it's amazing.
Right.
They had this big plastic bags that you could see through, and it said Guess on them. And I was buying shirts and stuff for the kids and everything, and I had this big bag full. And I'm going, we take a cab, we go back. We're crossing the border to go back in, and it's the Americans now. Checking me, right? And they says, what do you got to declare? And me being a comedian, I said, Guess. Wrong thing. It said, okay, over here, buddy.
And yeah,
said,
no, the dog's looking up your butt now.
Yeah, come here. Over here, smart ass. Come on. And went into a door, went into a room, and the guy said, okay, bend over, pull your pants down. We've got to check you. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, smart ass. Come on, bend down. And I said, oh. I said, aren't you at least going to put on a little glove? He said, no, my fingernail keeps tearing through. Oh, shit. It's a joke.
So many times did you go back through there?
Three times.
Did you get to know that guy pretty
Every
good?
Every time
eh?
I brought a bigger bag.
He went back until his nail was fixed.
He's bringing them pinatas to this day.
Like one of the things they throw a highlight ball.
Yeah. He finally,
I saw a license
The guy
plate
finally
today.
Filed his nail down on his ass long enough, and so it was
all right, we got too far with this. I saw a license plate today that said Highlight. It's funny you say that, because that was big back in town like 30 years ago.
Yeah, but it wasn't big for very long. It was
it wasn't. I didn't understand
it. Was a place where all the Cubans went, a few Americans went, but I went over there a few times because it was at the MGM, and I thought, well, it'd be nice, you know, but you can't bet on a sport because it's fixed. You know, I mean.
Well, they bet it on in places. I saw a movie that they talked about. Highlight was actually run by the mob in, not in America, but I mean.
Well, it's interesting because I'm reading Desi Arnaz's autobiography now about Cuba, and when he was young, man, when the anarchy and everything that took over Cuba, it happened fast, and he was like stunned, you know, what happened so quickly. And Dickie's got stories about that too.
Oh, you know, Cuba! You betcha. My father-in-law owned part of the Capri. He owned, I think, 10% because he was what they call a whack-out man. He was the guy they would go to if somebody somebody got out of line, started winning, they would bring him in, and he would just start switching dice and cards around and shit, whatever he needed to do to get the money back. And this is true. It was all mob, everything, and the stuff I can talk about now because he's been dead for 20 years, and none of his friends are going to be mad at me, so... Because they're all dead, too. I'm so glad.
And their kids are all now attorneys, so it really makes no difference.
His daughter. I mean, if I would have hit his daughter, it would have been the end of the deal. But
interesting
he had
story,
tons
though.
Of stories about how they just love Castro. Castro was a hero. He'd come into town on jeeps, and they'd be blowing guns and whistling and throwing stuff around, having a good time. Then after about... I think it was about 2 months after Castro came in and took over. Then he took over the banks.
Right. You
know, he went and froze them all up.
Right.
And that's when they knew it was over.
Did you know the Minnesota Twins have a lot to do with Castro being in power in Cuba?
How'd that come about?
Through some player, I suppose.
Cal Griffith was the owner of the Minnesota Twins, and Fidel Castro went to him and tried out for him, and Griffith said, no, you suck. And so he went.
He started a war.
That is a true story.
Leave it to Minnesota.
He tried out for the Twins, and Cal Griffin said, "No, you can't play for us."
Wow.
You know, it's funny how everything ties together because I worked with a guy at Caesars that was a catcher for Castro.
Wow. And,
yeah, in Cuba because. Baseball.
Yeah, I know you knew a lot of Cubans back in the day came to town.
Oh, I worked with all the Cubans that were in town at one time, you know, because there was nobody else dealing Baccarat except the Cubans, you know, when they first came. There was only 5 games in town. There was only 8 dealers per place, so, you know, there was a
they
handful.
They knew everybody, yeah.
And then to get into Baccarat was just like a miracle, you know.
Well, you went through quite a training. I remember the story. You had to go work somewhere else because you were already working there.
Yeah, this prick told me. He said, you get 5 years of experience, and I'll give you a job.
So you went to another place and got the experience and then
came
back.
Yeah.
Was that prick still working there?
Oh, yeah, Larry Snow, the guy that owned it. And then, you know what's funny about the whole deal?
Is Larry dead, too?
Yeah, what?
Is Larry dead, too?
Oh, gone a long time ago, yeah.
Jay Bird said to me once, he goes, every story you got, Oscar, when you finish, you go, and then they died. You know? And we're 3 old bastards sitting here.
That was, he probably started off by telling about our comedy act, the Ape Brothers, and then it died.
And then it died.
You know, that's all we knew in them days was the old guys. You know, in the casinos, all
the
old guys.
No, the story's
that,
amazing.
You know, came from back in Ohio and all
sure,
that
stuff. Sure, Steubenville.
Yeah, and... I married a girl from Steubenville.
And that's where all the guys, that's where the games were. And, I mean, you had to have fellas experienced in the gaming business that knew what was going on to open up this town.
It wasn't even that. It was the fact that the mob was in New York and
right.
Ohio and everywhere.
Cleveland,
and then
right.
they came out here.
Chicago, Kansas City.
And they wanted to bring in people that they could trust.
Correct.
They didn't care too much about anything other than trust.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
You know, and if they could trust you to hold their money, then... you were a good guy and you had a job, you know, and that's nice. All you had to do.
Nice. Is that where you're from, Steubenville?
No, I was from outside Cleveland. But, I mean, everybody in Ohio knew there was big games going down in Steubenville.
Oh, the roulette game.
Warren, Ohio.
Dean Martin, used to be a dealer there.
Yeah, he was from Steubenville, and Frank and Rocky Sennis, they were from Warren, Ohio.
Along.
They ran the show.
You know, spinning the wheel?
We got Prince, okay?
The roulette wheel or the Wheel of Fortune? Which one? I used to bark that Wheel of Fortune.
You used to spin the roulette wheel.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny, too, because I met this guy, as nutty as this sounds, I met this guy on a plane flying out, and it was a fun jet. And you would mark on a dollar your seat number. They collected like $150 from everybody on the plane. And the guy said to me, you want to go halves? I go, sure. I figured he'd give me a shot, you know, if his wins or mine wins. Well, they called my number. So I won $150 flying to Vegas from Cleveland. I said, I lived in Vegas 23 years. I never won anything. Thanks to you guys, I just won $150. So I split with the dude, and he goes, you know what? He goes, I'm going to give you a hot tip. And I'm going, oh, yeah, sure, hot tip, right? So, but this has worked for me like 25 out of like maybe 32 times. He says, bet the zero, the double zero on the roulette wheel, the one, the two, the 27, the 28. Those are the numbers next to the zero and the double zero. Excuse me. Look for an old dealer that's got some experience on that game. And he says, when everybody's betting all the red and the black and there's nobody betting on the green, jump in. You know, or just a little bit bet on the green. And son of a gun, I've made some money doing that. Uh-huh. You know?
I don't think there's any way to make money at it, because if it was, these buildings wouldn't fucking be
right.
There,
no, you're right. But I seen you, Dickie, walk up to a craps table and you were the one telling me your best odds were the first rollout.
Yeah. Yep.
The first, you know,
I seen him make money right there.
Best
boom,
odds
boom,
in
boom.
Vegas.
If every person that played craps came up and just bet the pass line and no other bet, the place would close within a month.
Well, you bet the pass line and then you bet behind then the number.
No, you don't do any other bets. And then this way you have the advantage, because you have the advantage on the come-out roll. And
right.
Then once a point's been established, and then you do not have the advantage. It depends on what the point is. But the whole thing that I'm trying to get across here is that on the come-out roll, you have the advantage.
Yeah,
to
right, because you can get a 7-11.
I've seen them do it. I've right. seen them pop 20 bucks. So what, $120 like quick, and
yeah,
then boom.
That's just luck.
No, I know, but I mean, at least you've got some knowledge behind it to put maybe the luck a little more, you know, to your favor than the average Joe.
Well, there's no way that I could go out and make money gambling. Yeah.
You know what's funny, though? This guy I know back in Ohio, he's a NASA scientist, Rick Perry. He wrote the book on how to play 21, count cards, and win money. And he puts disguises
he's
on
governor
stuff.
Governor of Texas
he
now, isn't he?
Pardon me?
He's governor of Texas now, Rick.
No,
Perry.
No. That's, did I say Rick? Maybe it's Ron Perry. Ron's his name. Yeah, Ron Perry.
Always changing your story.
Yeah, I know. But he worked for NASA. I know. That's the ticket.
What are you doing, Dickie? What's going on?
I have a wheatgrass company. I grow wheatgrass.
You have a what?
Wheatgrass.
That's it?
He grows it. He's got a ranch on his porch.
A farm.
Yeah?
Today we sold 120 trays.
Wow.
And we mailed out 60 trays. Wheatgrass is the only ethical thing I've ever done. I swear to God. Only thing.
And we got it now. No, but you know what's funny, though? What you told me, what your father-in-law said to me, and I'll never forget it, what he said to you about how everybody that gambles got a little larceny in their heart.
The more you gamble, the more larceny you have in you. And I didn't know if he was telling the truth, but after a while I realized he was. Because people that have no larceny, they won't gamble.
All right.
They won't put money in a slot machine. Right. What the hell would I do that for?
All right.
Why would I go put $100 in it? It's when you want something for nothing.
Want for nothing. Isn't
and that's
that
larceny.
Good perspective.
I thought that was called a Democrat.
Yeah. Actually,
he might have been defining him. He did live in Cuba. He saw what Castro did. I'm sure he wasn't real happy.
Something for nothing. I taught a lot of those kids.
But it's interesting stories when you hear these old fellas talk about the way the town was. Andy Martello wrote a great book, The King of Casinos, about Willie Martello and the El Rey Club out in Searchlight, Nevada, where Harry Reid learned how to swim in that pool out there. And Willie Martello was running a casino and a brothel in Searchlight, Nevada, when Vegas was just starting to grow. And that guy, Willie, he got him to put an airport in out there. They were bringing tourists out there, and Vegas didn't like that. But he was friends with the guy over at that owned the Dunes. But a great Reid, a fantastic Reid. And at one point, there was Francis Ford Coppola's first movie that he edited was shot out there with some people. And Andy Martello, I met him doing comedy here in town. He's a wonderful guy, very talented fellow. Wrote
Time
a
for a
book.
Black Russian, I'll tell you that.
There used to be some whiskey hiding around here.
I used to drink a Black Russian every now and then. You know, I'll drink one at home.
Well, you always like Coors Light.
Yeah.
Used to.
Because you've only got 5 grams of carbohydrates.
I have a Russian White at home. It's a cat.
Yeah?
They're called Russian Whites, yeah. It's the greatest cat.
Really? I never heard of such. I got the smartest cat, though. He walks on a leash, and the crazy thing of it is, too, he runs up the side of the A-frame to get upstairs to the loft.
Yeah?
Never had a cat do that before.
I have my cat does somersaults down the stairs.
On purpose or because you booted him?
No, on purpose.
she just likes doing it?
Oh, she loves it. And my wife will get her, she'll get her to, you know, she'll pet her on the, you know, the back and say, do somersault, do somersault. She'll grab on and.
Really?
When she chases something, she chases it. When she catches it, she catches it and flips over.
Is your cat been fixed?
All of the cats are fixed.
Ah, see, I didn't have my cat fixed because he's so smart. I want to have him get, you know, find a mate.
Well, if he was so smart, why can't he find a mate?
Well, he probably would if I let him out, but I only let him out on a leash.
What the hell, my cat. What's the point, then?
The point was I was going to hook him up with your stinking cat.
Yeah, well.
We could have some smart acrobatic cats. We'd hook him up for the Popovich show. Hey, we're getting the time here that we're going to be rolling here for a minute. We're counting down the history of comedy. I hope you all got a good education on that. We got some great open mics around town. Wednesday night, we got the Naked City Pizza, open mic. Got to sign up by 8:30. You got to see Bobby Massey over there. I think Johnny Vegas is going to show up over there. He's got a new character running around town, a comic by the name of Johnny Vegas.
Are you doing stand-up anywhere, John?
Yeah.
Where are you doing?
It's good fun. Over there at the Naked City Pizza. We got a few other places in town.
Are they paying
you to check out Alex, Just Alex. He's got a good site
on
the
Facebook. Is that an open mic?
Yep. He's got a list, you know, open mics over there. Devin Sheffield does one up there in Henderson.
Okay, now talk real slow.
We got Donnie Johnson over there at Boomers on Sunday nights. We got a bunch of people. Randall Thompson's holding one. There's a bunch of them going on.
What about the people that are listening now but ain't duplicating what you're saying? How can they find more about this out?
On Facebook, I want you to check out Alex, Just Alex. Check him out.
Okay.
Check out Oscar Hino, Oscar and Bernie.
Oscar and Bernie, the website.
We put stuff up over there, too. We worked today on that Jason Bourne movie. Jim, have you done any SAG work lately? You're in a union.
Let me think. No.
You're in a union, too?
Yes, I'm a SAG member.
Teacher, but in a union, but in this. Is there anything you haven't done?
Been successful.
Yeah, your wife. Hey, I'll tell you what. What a crowd. Hey, we're going to wrap it up here. I want to thank Jay.
That was
Bird,
a good line.
Everybody over here. Did you plug your book enough?
Yeah, we did. I'm holding this book right now, and it looks pretty good.
You can never plug it enough.
All right.
We'll talk
get a hold of the book. Amazon.
Jim, if somebody reads the book, is there something that they've learned from the book that they can go and change the system?
What needs to be changed, and I'm an educational advisor on a couple of the candidates here in town. What we're going to try to do is write legislation that removes social subjects, makes it actually legal to teach social subjects, you know. So we'll go back to teaching just the basics. Get rid of sex ed. You know, that's the parental duty to teach.
Okay, with the thought of sex ed, I want all those teenagers out there to pay attention and abstain.
We
got to wrap it up here. We're getting ready to go.
That's just some other thing. You know, just teach the reading, writing, arithmetic. Discipline will be handled by administration, not the school.
And as Paul Brown said, you know what I mean? If my dad tells me I got to keep it in my pants, oh, I wore a skirt. Okay, we're out of here. Thanks, you guys. And we're going to be back next Tuesday night.
I watch Hoarders. I see shit I need. I do. Like, they brought the yard sale into my living room, and I just poke around. I'm not following the dialogue. I'm just looking at their shit. Bingo, they have an orange microwave. Rewind it. Pause. That's an orange microwave. How do you get an orange microwave? Underneath the stack of the newspapers and the mummified cat is an orange microwave. Find it on Amazon. That might fill the void in my soul. Orange. I don't even drunk dial people anymore because I have nothing to say, but I drunk eBay and Amazon. I buy shit when I'm blacked out, which is eBay's the worst, because if I get outbid, then I take it personal when I'm drinking. And you just fucking looked at my girlfriend weird. Oh, outbid me? I'm gonna fucking outbid you. Yeah, I'm weak. I'll wait. Come on. Oh, outbid me? Outbid you! Because you probably have kids. I don't. I don't have a lot of money, but every penny I have is disposable because I don't have children. I bought a shitty cheap house on the Mexican border. My nut is $800 a year in property tax. I could beg that. You're going to outbid me. Eventually, you're going to realize, oh, shit, my children have to go to college. And I'm going to realize, oh, shit, I need a vintage pachinko machine in my house for some unknown reason. Outbid you. You lose. I'm a giant winner somehow. Way worse than drunk dialing, because drunk buying shit, you don't even remember you did it for 5 to 7 business days. You walk out of your house and UPS is building some corrugated Great Wall of China outside. What did I do now? What'd you get yourself this time, Mr. Christmas in July? Miracle socks, as seen on TV. Actual purchase. I don't have circulation problems, but evidently, when I drink on Ambien, that's some underlying fear I didn't even know I had, is deep vein thrombosis. I'm gonna die. Maybe that's why I never work Australia. That long flight could kill me with deep vein thrombosis.